The nervous person is often morose and unsocial, perhaps because he is not understood, perhaps because he falls so short of his own ideals. Often he does not find kindred spirits anywhere. I do not think we should drive such a man into conditions that hurt, but I do believe that if he is truly artistic and not a snob, he may lead himself into a larger social life without too much sacrifice. The sensitive, high-strung spirit that does not give of its own best qualities to the world of its acquaintance, that does not express itself in some concrete way, is always in danger of harm. Such a spirit turned in upon itself is a consuming fire. The spirit will burn a long time and suffer much if it does not use its heat to warm and comfort the world of need. Real illness makes the nervous temperament a much more formidable difficulty. All the sensitive faculties are more sensitive. Irritability becomes an obsession and idleness a terror. The nervous temperament under irritation is very prone to become selfish, and very likely to hide behind this selfishness, calling it temperament. The man who flies into a passion when he is disturbed, or who spends his days in torment from the noises of the street. The woman of high attainment who has retired into herself, who is moody and unresponsive. These unfortunates have virtually built a wall about their lives, a wall which shuts out the world of life and happiness. From the walls of this prison, the sounds of discord and annoyance are thrown back upon the prisoner, intensified and multiplied. The wall is real enough in its effect, but will cease to exist when the prisoner begins to go outside, when he begins to realize his selfishness and his mistake. Then the noises and the irritations will be lost in the wider world that is open to him. After all, it is only through unselfish service in the world of men that this broadening can come. There is no lack of opportunity for service. Perhaps the simplest and most available form of service is charity, the big professional kind, of course, and beyond that, the greater field of intimate and personal charity. I know a girl of talent and ability, herself a nervous invalid, sick and helpless for the lack of a little money which would give her a chance to get well. I do not mean money for luxuries, for foolish indulgences, but money to buy opportunity, money that would lift her out of the heavy morass of poverty and give her a chance. She falls outside the beaten path of charity. She is not reached by the usual philanthropies. I also know plenty of people who could help that girl without great sacrifice. They will not do it because they give money to the regular charities. They will not do it because sometimes generosity has been abused, so they miss the chance of broadening and developing their own lives. I know well enough that objective interest can rarely be forced. It must usually come the other way about, through the broadening of life which makes it inevitable. Sometimes I wish I could force that kind of development, that kind of charity. Sometimes I long to take the rich neurasthenic and make him help his brother, make him develop a new art that shall save people from sorrow and loss. We are all together in this world, and all kin, to recognize it and to serve the needs of the unfortunate as we would serve our own children, is the remedy for many ills. It is the new art, the final and greatest of all artistic achievements. It warms our hearts and opens our lives to all that is wholesome and good. This is one of the crises in which my theory of inspiration first may fail. Here, the charity may have to come first, may have to be insisted upon before there can be any inspiration or any further joy in life. It is not always charity in the usual sense that is required. Sometimes the charity that gives something besides money is best. But charity in any good sense means self-forgetfulness. And that is a long way on the road to nervous health. Give of yourself. Give of your substance. And you will cease to be troubled with the penalties of selfishness. Then take the next step. That gives not because life has come back, but because the world has become larger and warmer and happier. When the giver gives of his sympathy and of his means because he wants to, not because he has to do so, you will begin to know what I mean when I say it is better to have the inspiration first.